Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party gonna hell? Out in the St. John's Swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
It's howdy-doody time. Whoopee-doo. Happy trails to you. That's bringing back some memories, isn't it? Well, I got to tell you, folks, it's another week has transpired, and oh, my gosh, the phones have been going crazy. Phones have been going off the hook. Hadn't been a day that hasn't gone by that people from New Hampshire, upstate New York, Montana, Utah, the Dakotas, Nebraska, the Appalachian Trail. People are seeing stuff, Texas. I mean, it's gone nuts, folks. It really has. The people are on the move. The creatures are on the move. The family pods are on the move. Okay? We talked about it last week. Those of you who were listening, had your ears on, oh, my God, you got an earful. And I'll tell you, they are moving, and the weather has gotten stranger and stranger than you can think of. California needs that rain. It started yesterday, and my gosh, there's going to be a Torrential rains coming through Monday and Tuesday of next week, but we needed it. We needed it, and you know what? It's going to be great, but this climate control has really screwed things up. Just picture yourself, folks. Picture yourselves as one of these creatures. There's about 8,000 of you in North America alone, and 3.5 million of human beings. And this niche of a primate, hominid, call what you want, bipedal person, forest people, cave dwellers, tree inhabitants, they must be saying, what's going on, man? You know, they've seen snow, they've seen rain, they've seen flooding, they've seen tornadoes, they've seen it all. But because of this climate change lately, it's been crazier than hell. California just had one of the hottest summers they ever had, ever. They're selling generators like they're air conditioners out here. And people are just buying them up like crazy. Well, we said it was going to happen, and we're going to get into that on the show here. Let me check in with my wingman, my co-host. Rockstar, how are you? How was your week?
It was wonderful. It was busy. It was just a great week altogether with the weather that we were having and everything. It was pretty wonderful.
Oh, that's great. Did anything new come about? Did you hear any stories from anybody about the creature?
Me and the Swede are going to make a little sachet down into the Ozark National Forest, probably starting tomorrow morning. Not exactly sure when we're going to be able to meet up with the guy, but we have a man that needs to be questioned a little bit about some ongoing happenings on his property. And I'll just wait until we have a chance to talk to him before I elaborate on it any. But other than that, you know, we've got work and more work.
Yeah, it's an amazing story. You know, I don't know if you're keeping up with the National Times when it comes. Now we're hearing, paper goods are going to be on the down low. You better start shopping now for Christmas and the holidays. And, oh, by the way, bottled water is going to be a thing of the past unless you go and get it now. You know, there's these ships offshore all over the place that they can't dock because we don't have the dock workers to take them off, number one. We don't have the truckers to put them on their truck to transport them across the country. I don't know what the hell's going to happen. I really don't know. But I know this. I know that if anybody now that things are opening up with the Bigfoot and you get out there amongst it, I have a feeling that this will be the best time ever in the entire history that I've been doing this since 1967. That's 37, 47, 57, 58 years. Okay? You may have a hell of a chance, ladies and gentlemen, and young whippersnappers coming up the ranks, seeing one of these creatures. So how'd you hear about this thing there at the National Park, Rockstar?
A guy came into my restaurant because he contacted one of his friends that knew that my brother has a animal control thing going on, and so he talked to that friend of his, and he said, well, you know, said it's the younger brother that deals with what you're talking about. So anyhow, I got a phone call and said that he's going to want to stop up by talk to me. Well, that's going to happen, but I think I'm going to go to his place to so we can discuss all this, because he can show me around rather than just tell me. And could be something, could be nothing. Like I say, I'll just wait until I find out if we got something to talk about, or we got another guy that heard his first coyote sound off and got scared.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, that's a big plus coming down the line, and I'm sure that next week we get on the show, you and the Swede will tell us all about it.
We'll have some information.
Oh, I'm sure you will. I want to ask you something, Rockstar. Tell me, with the crazy weather that we've been experiencing throughout this nation, what do you think it's going? Well, if you were one of these Bigfoot, what would go through your head when you see one day it's 102 and next day it's 47 degrees?
You know that little area where me and you and the boys all camped out when we found all the footprints going down to Lake Dead?
Yeah.
That's where I would go. That's where I would go because the weather's been so good. There's places down there that's in the summer, it's 10 degrees cooler. Then there's other areas where the temperature is a little bit warmer than it is in the state in general. And I would go down there and I'd sit around and wait for a big old hog to come along, and then I'd break his neck and eat him.
You know, I got to tell you a story. I'm glad you brought that up. The hogs now, because of all the fires in California and everything, the feral hogs are coming down into the neighborhoods looking for food. And it was just on the news tonight. And, you know, they're saying they've never seen, you know, wild boar coming down into the residential districts. It's always been up in the mountains or far away when, you know, the rural, you know, where things aren't, have a lot of people.
Yeah,
and,
that
oh
could be really
God.
Dangerous.
Yeah, it's dangerous. You know, you got these kids in school. Here's what happened. The school, they were having recess, I guess. I don't know what they call it today. During our day, it was recess. And they were having their lunch and recess, I guess it was. And then all of a sudden, somebody says, oh, look, a pig. And the school teacher came out, took a picture, found out it was a feral hog, and saying, oh, kids, you all get inside, because you saw the big teeth there on those things, you know. They're getting desperate themselves.
Yeah.
They're coming down to lower elevations now because they can't get any food.
Well,
I don't know.
There's a lot of those places that I understand that in California, just being out in the woods, you get turned into bacon pretty quick. everything being dried out and you know all the underbrush, all it takes is just a little lightning strike or dew in the morning can start a fire. Oddly enough,
it's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. And by the way, Youngblood called me today. He's been calling me, but we just haven't had an opportune time to talk. And he lost his grandfather. He wanted to let everybody know. And he's the executor of the will, and he's taking care of all of this stuff, or else he'd been on the show. But he's just been busier than hell. He says he can't find anybody to help work with his business. Those of you who don't know what he does heating and air conditioning, and he said this was the busiest summer that he's ever had. And he said he sure misses the hell out of us. And he said he hadn't picked up a gun in a year and a half. Hasn't been out in the woods hunting. Hasn't done any target shooting or anything since then also. And he says, you know, as soon as he gets up where the things start easing up for him. He's going to come out and spend maybe a week with us, and we're going to go out in the brush and do what we know how to do best. But he told me to make sure that I said hello to you and the Swede and Father Ray and our immediate family.
Well, we miss him.
Yeah, we do, big time, big time. So who's on the show with us tonight, Rockstar?
Oh, this is good. We have Ray. We have the Swede.
Uh-huh.
We have Doyle.
Uh-huh.
We have James. We have Dalton. We have Austin. And we have A-Train. This is Doyle's team down in Florida.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, damn. I mean, let's get Doyle on first. Let him make the formal introduction. What do you think?
Okay, sounds good. Hey, Doyle.
Hello, Rocky. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good.
Can y'all hear me okay?
Loud and clear, Doyle.
We can.
Loud and clear. How are you?
Okay, I'm in a bad spot right down here. I'm on the Gulf Coast of Florida, and I'm on a remote island. And I've got my boys with me, but I talked to you and the Swede a little bit earlier. And like I said, I found one spot I can stand in. And I tell the Godfather I have to stand on one foot, hold one arm in the air, make my mouth crooked, cuss a little bit, and cross my eyes to make the damn thing work. But it's working.
How are you, Doyle? What's the weather like down there?
The weather is beautiful. We're in the high 80s, low 90s every day. No rain, no nothing. The reason we came down here is, and I got to give kudos to these two guys, is Tony Harmon and Brent Browning, two of my good friends who live down here. And they have called and talked about the recent increase in Bigfoot sightings. And I went around to all the locals, and we talked, and we go to local restaurants and stuff. And we're talking to the locals about what they've seen, what, you know. And then patrons are coming up to us because, of course, I'm not going anywhere to represent Bigfoot.com unless I deck my boys out. And everybody's wearing their Bigfoot T-shirts and everything, and we're being a proud influence for the Godfather.
Wow.
And, you know, the boss is the man, but we're just part of his team. And I brought my boys with me tonight. I want to say shout out to my son, James. I got my son, Dalton. I've also got Austin, who's my future son-in-law. He's dating my daughter, and they're going to get married soon. And then I have A-Train, which is my son James' best friend, and we call him A-Train because his name's Austin, too, but we call him A-Train because he's real good with the ladies. He gives more rides than Greyhound.
I love it. So tell me the story about Tony and Brent calling and letting you know what kind of action's going on down there.
They said it's crazy. They said everybody, everywhere you go, anywhere you go to eat, anywhere you go to shop, anywhere, everybody's talking about they're seeing these strange creatures down here. Well, the habitat is perfect, especially perfect. But now let me tell you what's happened. Last week we talked about the migration. And Tom, Big Tom, you are the man on the migration of the Bigfoot. But here's what I'm getting from it, you know, talking to all these people, is that they have what they normally refer to as the skunk ape down here. And it's a lighter colored, tall, skinny type creature. But now we're seeing down here a lot of people are reporting much bulkier, bigger, larger, darker creatures that they're seeing. Now, let me tell you about the weather. When we left the Appalachian Mountains, we were down into the 40s at night with rain. and we went from there down here to the 80s and 90s in sunshine. Okay? We get down here, and we find out there's a natural phenomenon that has occurred. And it's called a red algae plume. And red algae has exploded in the ocean because it's hurricane season, and the waves in the Gulf Coast are extremely high compared to normal. And the red algae has caused a massive natural fish kill, and literally hundreds of thousands of fish have washed up onto the shores of the beaches down here. Okay? That's like opening the buffet for these creatures. Are you following me?
I am.
This is where people are seeing them. They are actually coming to the beach shores along with black bears, feral hogs, just all kinds of creatures are being seen on the beaches. I mean, the beaches are empty because people are afraid to go to the beaches right now because of all the wildlife that are coming down to feed on all the dead fish. And I don't mean there's a few, Tom. I'm talking about you can't walk into the ocean to take a swim without stepping on 10 dead fish. This is the craziest thing I've ever seen. It's like Old Testament Bible. I mean, it scared me until a scientific explanation was explained to us as to what happened. The last time this happened was 1985. And it's happened now. I think this is why my friends call me with all the sightings. I think the creatures have sensed or communicated to each other or something that if you want a free buffet, come down here to the Gulf Coast. I mean, that's the only thing I can figure, Tom.
What part of Florida
is it? But anyway, I brought my boys down here, and let me tell you something. Tom, I can't say enough about these boys. I also left one out, Jeremiah. He's our tech boy. And he's Dalton, my son Dalton's best friend. So what we've been doing is we've been going to places like Tate's Hill and the Apalachicola National Forest and going into areas from there that allow the drones to fly and stuff. And we've got, what I do is I dispatch two teams. Dispatch my son, my two sons on one team, and I dispatch A-Train and Austin on the other team. Now, I arm each one of them. One of them has a shotgun loaded with slugs, and the other one has an AR-15 armed with green tips. And every one of the team members has a Glock 35 40 caliber. I'm not sending my boys into these swamps without being armed. Because you would be amazed that these drones my son designed. He's an aerospace genius, and he's designed these drones. And I'm just going to say this. They've got forward-looking infrared. They've got recording capabilities. And they also have something else that I'm not at liberty to say that's on the drones. But let's just say this. If a Bigfoot were to show up on one of those things, that wild animal will be no more. Anyway.
I love it.
My son is a genius. He's a genius.
Now, which son are you talking about, Jeremiah?
Besides the military that can equip a drone with something that will stop anything.
That's amazing.
But anyway,
totally amazing.
We've been down here. Let me tell you, we've been here since last Saturday. And my boys, my team, my little group down here who are representing you, Tom, all down here, and these kids are going into that thicket, into those swamps every day. And I'm telling you, I have bought the local Dollar General store out of alcohol and peroxide and bandages just to patch these boys up because all the scratches, cuts, and everything they're getting going through that deep brush.
How's the skiers?
Kudos.
Really?
They are awesome. They go in places where most kids would never dare to go. They range in age from 17 to 22. And they're out here hunting this thing so we can try to throw one, like I say, like Rocky says, across the hood of the truck, and the Sweep says across the hood of the truck, and bring it to the Godfather.
Let me ask you this. How's the snake situation out there?
The what, sir?
The snakes.
Snakes?
Yes, snakes.
Oh, yeah, we're killing all kinds of snakes.
Yeah, somebody was telling me that they're coming out in droves out there.
They are. They're all kinds of snakes, and we don't know if they're poisonous or whatever, but, yeah, we kill snakes every few minutes. In fact, I rented the boys a beach house tonight to give them a night to relax, and so they could go out there and fish tonight and swim in the pool, and, you know, we're going to grill out, and I'm just giving them a good night off, drink beer, and do whatever they want to do. And I'm giving them a good break tonight. But these kids, man, I'm telling you, they come back. They've got like four snakes hanging over each shoulder that their heads are chopped off and stuff. And they're like, is that poisonous? And I'm like, hell if I know. Thank God you killed it before it killed you, you know. And these guys are wonderful. But they are true Kentucky woodsmen. They've been raised in the woods. They know how to hunt. They've been mountain men. They were raised a little different than these city kids.
I guess
and
so.
They don't give up, Tom. They don't give up. But I would like for you to send them some more T-shirts because they've ruined every T-shirt I've gave them, tearing them apart on these thorns and these pine thickets and.
You just make sure, just email me and make sure you give me the sizes, and I'll make sure we send them out to them, okay?
All right.
I'm just tell them I'm proud as hell of everyone. Any of them around there where you're talking?
No, they've already, they're all down. Two of them are down at the beach, and two of them already went to bed because they were wore out.
Yeah, I don't blame them. I don't blame them. What is it, 1027 there?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. What area in Florida are you at?
On the Gulf Coast in Apalachicola, and right now we're staying at a place called St. George Island.
Oh, man, I've been to St. George Island. You know, tell those boys to be careful over there. Them swamps there are a son of a bitch.
Well, that's why they call it Tate's Hell. You know, there was a person named Tate that went into the swamp to chase an animal that was killing all their livestock.
Yeah, there's tell everybody what happened when he came out.
He never came out.
That's the point. And when they found him, tell them what happened, the condition of the body.
It was no body. It was just mutilated.
Yeah.
So nobody knows what done it or whatever. It's crazy.
You know, we were down there. It was me, Youngblood, Chico. A couple other guys, I can't remember who they were. The one right next to St. George Island is the town that has the world's smallest jail, and it's the size of
smallest police station.
Yeah,
it's
that's
a phone
it.
Booth.
Yeah.
It's a phone booth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it right off the bat, but it's right down the road here from this one, but.
Yeah, we were there. We were there. I'll tell you what. Yeah, listen, man, especially at nighttime, those critters come out and everything that goes bump in the night, and cover your skin up, man. I'm tell them boys to make sure they're all covered up because they'll get bit up like a sumbitch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I spray them down with all kinds of antipist. You know, that's off and stuff like that before they go in the woods or I'll call it the bush. It's not the woods. It's not like going in the woods back home. You're going into a swamp down here.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody's like, well, did you find any big footprints? Tom, if you step in that murky water and you lift your foot, your print's gone in 5 seconds.
Oh, of course. It filled back up. Yes.
My boys come back, and they are just gritty dirty from their knees to the bottom of their boots.
And the thing you haven't told anybody was,
and I want to let everybody know,
don't
come down here and do this, because I've been doing this a long time, and I don't want anybody just to come down here and just send their kids or them go into these places without being really safe. Like I said, I stay back. We have radio contacts. I send them out in teams by two, doubly armed. And then I also have Jeremiah, who's Dalton's best friend. He's our tech kid, and he flies two drones, one above each team with forward-looking infrared. And he will tell them, you know, you got an alligator 15 feet in front of you. You know, he's that good.
Oh, that's one man. I'll tell you what. That Jeremiah, I'd like to meet him.
Oh, he's smart, man. He's so smart, he's weird.
They all are. they all
love
say
the kid.
The difference between a genius and a moron. I can't say it over the air, but
I'll say it, Tom.
Go ahead. No, I ain't going to say it. I won't do it.
I say it, Tom.
You say it.
I ain't saying it.
Me neither. Let me just put it to you there. It's something hair away from insanity.
I don't want to embarrass either one of them. But I've got one kid right now with me right now, and not one of my sons, because they're smart enough to look over their shoulder and say, you're getting crazy with this. And I'm not going to do that, but I've got this kid named A-Train. He's little Austin.
Mm-hmm.
The kid is 17 years old, and I'll tell you what he'll do. He would wrestle the bear with Rocky. This is one of the best kids in the world.
You hear that,
Rockstar?
All the
problem he's got, and I wish Father Ray would say a prayer for him, and we have to keep a close eye on him.
Right there in the tracks. Let's bring Father Ray out and... First of all, what do you think about what's going on with these young men, Father Ray?
Sounds like an adventure to me.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. You think
like
that maybe
adventure.
You can impart a beautiful prayer for them to have our big guy in the sky, make sure that they're well watched over while they're down there?
Indeed. Indeed.
Hey, Father Ray, before you say your prayer, I would like you to say a prayer for A-Train. He's our youngest member on our team,
mm-hmm.
and he does suffer from juvenile diabetes, so we have to make sure he stays with plenty of insulin and stuff like that, and he was cursed with juvenile diabetes, but this kid still gets out and does best he can. So a special prayer for A-Train.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God, our Father, watch over these young men who are working with the ski and help them on St. George Island. Please protect them spiritually, protect them physically, and help them, Lord, to be good companions to each other, build each other up, watch out for each other. May their holy guardians angels work together to keep them, especially watch over A-Train. You know his condition, Lord. Please bless him. Provide him with all that is needed. Lord, you fed the thousands with just five loaves of bread and two fish. You fed your people in the manna, with manna in the desert. So, and the prophet Elijah through a raven. So please keep him safe. Make sure he has the insulin that he needs. So that he can keep working and open up the mystery of these creatures to us, your people. And bless Doyle, keep him safe. And we ask all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
And the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Yes, indeed. And while we do their little P.S. to Jesus up there, please don't forget Dalton, Austin, A-Train, as we already know that he's there, and Jeremiah. And, of course, Tony and Brent, the friends of Doyle, who got the kids down there and him. And
bless them all.
Watch all the people down in that area because of this natural phenomena with the red algae. I'm sure he's going to pass by and say amen. Here's a question I got for you, Doyle, on the red algae. You said the fish are coming up dead, right?
Yes. Now the red algae plume is over, and the tides are washing the fish back out to sea now. But for a solid week, there were literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of fish all over the Gulf of Mexico laying dead on the beach. And I think that's why there were so many Bigfoot sightings. Like I said, I think the buffet was open.
No, I get all that. So if the people eat these fish, it's poison, right?
They advise everybody not to eat the fish they catch or anything right now.
Okay, so what about the wild animals if they eat them? What, will they die? They get sick? What's the story?
I don't know.
Let me bring in the beard of knowledge. Swede, are you out there?
Yes, Tom, I'm listening.
What do you think? With these dead fish, if people get sick, will the creatures and feral hogs and all these other animals that feed off these fish, will they get sick and die? What do you think? Or are they immune?
Well, I don't know if there's an immunity there, but there may be some resistant to toxins because it's a natural, you know, the algae is just making, it's like a black mold or, you know, or anything else. It's a, it's not a fungi, but it's, algae can make toxins. I don't know how long, I'm not fully versed in the length of the toxin, but I know that the toxin depletes the oxygen and toxes them out and through their gills, literally smothering the fish. So I don't know that it's all that present, except maybe on the outside, Tom. I think it's a hypoxia thing. I think they're just like smothers them out. So I don't think they're like loaded with toxin. I think they just get smothered.
Yeah.
So it could be one of those things that the amounts on the external part of the dead fish is so minute, and if it's been laying in the sun for, you know, a little while, the, you know, UV destroys toxins and breaks it down. You know, probably if they ate 10 pounds of fish, there's maybe not enough to affect. But, you know, I wouldn't take the chance as a human, but in the wild critters and hogs, you know, hogs can about eat anything. They can eat a bar of steel and digest it, and it doesn't kill them. So, you know,
they're
kind of
like
goats,
aren't they?
They're what? I'm sorry?
They're kind of like goats.
Yeah, they just have a super digestive tract, you know, from everything from hard nuts to, you know, carrion. They can go any way. And I think that the bears probably are, you know, probably in the same thing, omnivorous. They just do everything. I don't think that toxin, unless they just sat down there on the beach gouging on it, you know, if they were fresh in the water with the red tide, that might be an issue. But if they've, you know, when the tide's subsided and the fish are laying up on the bank there for, you know, the tide change for all that time, the sunshine, and I think the toxins are probably very, very low. That's just my opinion, and that doesn't really mean much, but
okay,
yeah.
So I got some, and thank you for your input. It really means an awful lot, or else I wouldn't have brought you in, and thank you for that. Kimberly just wrote in, and this question is for Doyle. Kimberly wants to know, does Doyle and the boys sleep in the swamp at nighttime, besides what he did for them tonight?
Yes. We can't.
Okay, so she says, can you please, if they do, can you elaborate? Are they sleeping off ground, on ground, in trees, in hammocks, in tents, what? And what are they eating and what are they drinking?
We are sleeping on hard sand in the tent. And we are surviving on Spam, Hormel chili, saltine crackers, sardines. I mean, just the things we need
champions
to get protein during the day. But let me tell you something now. At night, I treat my boys. I bring them out of the swamp, and I take them somewhere. Like tonight, we went and spent a $400 meal on seafood. All they could eat seafood. There were oysters and shrimp and just anything you could eat they had. And I filled their bellies full. That's why two of them got so much to eat tonight. They just had to go to bed. But that's my boys, you know.
You know, I got to Kim, I know you're listening, and thank you for your questions. And I'm going to amplify what Doyle just said, because my mentor, Ivan Marks, when I went out with him, I was in shock because he had cans of sardines and saltine crackers back in 1967, Kimberly. Remember this, okay? But he says because of the salt content and the protein and the oils in the fish keeps the body going, and you don't have to worry so much about thinking of food. And it's amazing.
Amen.
Where did you pick that up at? Did you pick that up from me?
Did I pick it up from you, Tom?
Yeah, I'm asking you that question.
No, actually, I picked that up from the Hell Week in the State Police Academy.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, you had to have something that was small, you could pack with you, and it had to have a lot of protein and a lot of sodium to keep you from having cramps because you're exercising so hard, and sardines were the perfect food.
You're exactly right, man. I mean, when you said that, I'm saying, wow. Here's another question for you, okay? This here is from a guy named Cameron, and Cameron's asking, can you ask Doyle, is this the first time out with the boys, and are they enjoying it, or do they wish they never came?
No, it's not. I've actually had my son James and Dalton with me before. This is the first time for Jeremiah and Austin and A-Train, but the boys are so excited. They feel like they're part of something special. And like I say, I treat them good. They work hard during the night, and during the day after we get some sleep, I take them out and treat them good, Tom.
Well, that's what it's all about. We do that, and then those of you who know, been with me know the story. Here's one from Carol, first-time listener. Carol says, interesting show, Tom, and your regulars sure know what they're talking about. Can you ask Rocky on his excursion that he and the Swede are going on tomorrow, how long it's going to be for, and will it be dangerous at this time of the year?
As far as how long it's going to be, we're just going to go down and question the guy and get the lay of the land. Probably maybe three days at the most. As far as dangerous, it's any time that you're in the woods with bears and wild hogs, it can get kind of dangerous. Not so much the bears, but the wild hogs can get pretty dangerous. And the snakes are out there. But fortunately, we've got the hogs eating the snakes, so... dangerous, it's going to be dangerous for something, because when we go down there, we'll be carrying enough firepower to overthrow the government. But, well, maybe not that much, but no, when we go, we're always prepared for what may come. But, you know, like I said,
here's another one from a woman named Patricia. And she says, ask Rocky, does he know if the pigs eat the snakes and they're poisonous, will they die? And if they don't die, are they immune because of their immune system or what? Big question mark.
The pigs... when it comes right down to it, they don't care about about getting bit by a copperhead. They just go ahead and if the copperhead bites them, that means that they don't have to fight them that much. They just eat them. and now everyone, they're pretty, a hog is almost indestructible. I mean, out in the real world, it can handle about anything that it comes up against, and snakes ain't nothing to them.
Okay, here's, this is for Doyle. Doyle, this is from Destiny. Destiny, I love your name, by the way.
I love Destiny, too. I have several friends named Destiny.
It's just amazing.
Destiny, what's your question?
Okay, Destiny's question is this. You're sending the boys out, and you're staying there as a command post, we think, along with Jeremiah, who's sending up the drone. Do you get to go out in the field, too, or are you just hanging back now?
No, I do go into the field. If the boys find something that looks suspicious, I go into the swamp too myself.
She also
and
said,
by the way, I'm also heavily armed.
Okay, and she also said,
like I said, I don't take my boys nowhere unless they're heavily armed, and we've got the drones watching over us. And like I said, the drones can do some things that normal drones don't because my son's an aerospace genius.
Oh, here's one from Randy. Randy says, I love this one. He says, if I make a trip down there, since you're going to be there for another couple of days, can he come by and go out with you guys?
We're going to be here till Saturday morning.
So what's the answer?
Well, if he wants to come down, if he can make it here tomorrow night, he's more than welcome to go in the swamp, but tell him to bring plenty of bug spray, long sleeve shirt, a good cargo pant that's ripped pair, and, of course, bring a good firearm.
Here's a great, great question from Frank, Doyle. Frank wants to know, does everybody have to have a permit to carry a gun, or if they don't have a permit, can they still carry a gun and go into the woods?
That is dependent upon the state laws. Now, Florida is real, they're a conservative state. Anybody can carry a gun in Florida. But, you know, some states, depending on where we're at, they're a little bit different. So we have to be real careful. That's why I keep my gun supply in your trailer, you know, and I, you know, we travel with those. But, you know, firearms is a tricky question right now, especially since we've got this liberal government. So be cautious, but just
Tom, you know,
go on the internet and see what you can carry and what you can't and how you're supposed
to carry
it.
The best thing to do, I mean, I do it every time that I go out with Tom, is I call the state police and get the information directly from them. That way there's no mistakes to be made.
No, I get it, but my question is, you know, this guy here, it's a great question, and I don't have the answer, and you're there in that state. Do all your kids, I know you're okay, you have a permit to carry. Do they have permits to carry?
Yes, they do, all except for the 17-year-olds.
You have to be a certain age, do you?
Not at 17 years old, you can carry a hunting rifle.
Okay, all right. So, in other words, if there's the other guys that have permits, and if they're out into the brush, and a game warden or an officer of the law comes out and asks them to produce their permits or licenses, what's the story?
They have them. I made sure everybody had every permit they needed.
Well, then you're on top of the game, man. I'm just now. I hope Frank, you understand what he just said.
Tom, if I can intervene, we have what we call reciprocating agreements. And that means if we allow you to do this in our state, you allow it to do it in your state. And Florida and Kentucky are reciprocating states. So I can carry concealed in Florida. And Floridians can carry concealed in Kentucky. And trust me, we have a lot of tourism in Kentucky because of our beautiful mountains and all of our beautiful state parks and our lakes. And there's a lot of people that come from the south to come up there. And, yeah, I mean, it's just, this is America. You've got your Second Amendment right no matter what. I don't give a damn what state you're in. You still got the Second Amendment right, and that's it.
Here's a great question from a guy named Bill Bonner, okay? And Bill says, since you've been there since Saturday, have you had any close calls of seeing one of these creatures?
Actually, we've not, but we've heard a lot of wild calls. We've seen a lot of wild animal migrations, like seagulls and birds and stuff, armadillos and stuff running from a specific area. That gives us a clue that there might be something there in that area that we need to look at. You can see wild hogs running away from an area, and then the drones will spot something that's like really hot on infrared that looks man-like. And I dispatch my teams to that, but it seems like it just disappears. It's so elusive, Tom.
I understand. They move very quickly,
they
as you know.
They didn't call Bigfoot the king of hide and search for nothing.
Yeah. So Bill also states, you said you saw a lot of prints. Did you take any plaster Paris casts?
No, we couldn't, because by the time you could get your plaster ready, the swamp water would have already swallowed the prints.
So let me try to
do
it when we're on the air to Bill. Bill, I've been in that area, and this is in the swamps there. It's black water.
It's
the most disgusting looking water you ever want to see. And what he's saying is you can put your boot as you're walking, and it'll make an indentation and a print in it. And within a matter of seconds, the damn thing's filled up with water.
Yeah, so I never expected to get prints here. That was a high expectation.
So, but you did say that there's sand areas, like little mountains.
There are. They're on the beaches and stuff. But you also got to think the tides come in and out regular, so it could wash them in and out. And we're not on the coast all the time. We've only been on the coast like a night or two. So. The whole time we've been here, we've been out in the swamps and the forest, and you know, you don't hunt Bigfoot, you know, you don't hunt Bigfoot outside the tourist areas. Bigfoot's not going to come up to the local restaurant and ask for a damn drink. You know what I'm saying? We got to go out to the swamp.
Right.
You don't hunt Bigfoot on the parking lot of a Holiday Inn, okay?
You know, I'm going to tell you a story. You know where the harbor is over there as you go to get to the St. George Island?
Sure.
Where it's got the boats docked and everything. There's a coffee shop there that our picture is hanging up there, and they love us to death. You might want to stop in. The gal that I'm trying to remember the woman's name.
If you could remember the name of it, I'll stop in and buy the boys a cup of coffee in the morning.
Well, stop in there. You'll see the picture. And just she'll probably think it's us. And just tell her, hey, it's you, and tell her that Tom said hello. Oh. She'll probably buy you his breakfast.
Tom, we could never be you. We're just trying to be an extension of you.
I love
it. With your pinky finger on the whole fist, Tom.
You're too kind. You're too kind. Now, listen, I think the Swede, the beard of wisdom, wants to ask you a couple of questions. Swede, Mr. Bob, you got a question there for Doyle and his boys?
I talked briefly with Doyle earlier, and he was talking about gear. I was going to say, I asked Doyle, I said, Doyle, and you'll know about this too, Tom, what about the sandburrs?
Oh.
Oh my goodness, they're the devil's thing.
My team comes back from the swamp And besides the pine cuts from the sharp pine leaves and everything else that I have to dress, because I'm also a field medic, and I have to dress all that because I used to be a paramedic back in the early days. But let me tell you something, those burrs, they dig in, and you can't pull them out with your fingers, because if you do, they stick to your fingers. Am I right?
So I'm glad we don't have those in Arkansas.
I use my Leatherman tool and pick them out, and as soon as I pick them out, I pour a little peroxide or alcohol on it, you know, and just try to take care of my boys the best I can. But let me tell you something. These boys ain't, they're not pussies. They're not used to, you know, these boys are not city boys. They're not, these boys are country boys. They, you know, if you tell him to dive in that bush and go, if it's full of thorns, he's going to go, whether it cuts him all to hell or not. He's going to do it. These are some tough boys. I mean, they're country boys.
Well,
so,
I got a
let me get Rocky's input on this. Rocky, did you hear this? These boys are no tenderfoot
yes,
now.
That's right. There ain't nothing, ain't hardly anything worse than getting a damn sandbar in your britches.
Oh, man, I'll
yeah.
tell you. That's a
I'm telling you, I'll be honest with you. One of my boys had to take a dump in the woods while he was out there. And I had to dig two sandbars out of his hind end. And it wasn't pretty. But he was damn glad to get them out.
Hey, Doyle, I got a question for you. When you were, I don't know what it's like in Apalachicola, but I know in South Florida, and like Tom knows, the palmetto bushes are growing around in there, and about every other palmetto bush has got a, is either a snake or a wasp nest underneath the leaf. Have you been experiencing any of that?
We have been so fortunate we've not got any stings yet.
Good.
The palmetto, you know how the leaves are, though? If you walk through them too fast, they'll kind of cut you.
Yeah, like sawgrass.
I get a lot of that. I'm getting a lot of that. But now we have killed our share of snakes. So.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you this, Doyle. When we were down there, it was me, Bill Coffey, Youngblood, and a guy I picked up from Arizona, I can't remember his name, and all that he talked about, well, I didn't see no damn snakes. And now I'm driving, and I'm going through it, and this fucking road, excuse the expression, folks, you know, it's switching here and switching there. And so I just put it in four-wheel drive on Big Blue, and, you know, I had those big tires. I just went over every goddamn thing. All of a sudden, you see these snakes going everywhere. I said, roll down the windows and shoot them, son of a bitches. So Bill Coffey's looking at Youngblood. Youngblood's looking at Coffey. And he says, where are they at? I says, you're looking at tinted windows, man. You got to roll the windows down. Oh.
Well,
and then they start going nuts, man.
Let me ask you this, Tom. This is one of my first. I've been on a bunch of expeditions in Tackle Creek, Tennessee, in the woods of Kentucky, and I know that at the end of the night, we have to de-tick each other and do all that. But being down here in Florida in the swamps, is there any advice you can give us to help keep my boys safe?
Yeah. Don't go in the swamp.
Yeah.
You want to know the truth? Because I'll tell you
that
what.
That ain't going to happen. That ain't
no,
gonna happen.
I'll tell you this, man. When I was there, I ended up in the damn urgent care the second day. I got bit up so friggin' bad, it was pathetic. And then, you know, I heard the story from the authorities and everything about the guy that got lost in the swamp, and they never found him for 18 days, and when they did, and he was all bit up. He was like a piece of meat that was bit by everything that lives in the swamp.
Snake,
okay, and there's a book on it. There's a book on it, okay? And the thing that And the thing that bothers me more than anything was you think that there was a small little puddle, and you step into it, and you're down into almost up to your neck. He's got these sinkholes there. I'd really be honest with you, man. Unless you know the area as well as the locals do, I wouldn't go. Best thing you're doing is using the drone. Use the drones. You want some good advice?
My drones serve two purposes. There's actually three. They're keeping track of my teams. Okay? They're looking for creatures. And they're also providing heavenly security that I can't.
That's the best thing you can ever say. And let me end it off and tell everybody around the globe, listen to part two, folks, next week, because he'll give us a full report of what he got and any pictures he's taken. We'll put them on the website. The hour has just flown, folks. Kudos and salutations. Good night, America.
Good night to everybody. Tom, Swede, good night, everybody. See you next Wednesday.
God bless the whole audience.
Amen.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, mystery, legend, tales, and facts.